السلام عليكم. رمضان كريم مبارك. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل، نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، the praises for Allah, Lord of the worlds, highly glorified above all their descriptions. We witness that there is no divine except Allah, and we witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. With reference to our Prophet Muhammad, Allah Most High has said, "We have not sent you but as a mercy for all the worlds." مَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah is one alone, there is no other God. لا إله إلا هو. Blessed is He who made the constellations in the skies and placed therein a lamp and a moon giving light. And it is He who made the night and the day to succeed each other for the benefit of whomever wants to be mindful or wants to show thankfulness. This gathering of believers, Allah, our Lord and Creator, addresses humans as creatures with a nature that can be trusted. This nature is identified as our original nature. The Most High says in the Holy Book, "Such is He, the knower of all things, hidden and open, the exalted in power, the merciful." The one who made excellent everything He created, and from clay He began the creation of the humans. We know that every child is born a Muslim. Every child is born with good nature. When you visit the hospital and see the newborn babies there in the nursery, and you go about looking at them, you see one nature in them all. You see one human nature in them all. The differences in the parents, the differences in the nationalities, all of that seems to be absent at the time of birth. We only see one type of human being when the baby is born. And the Most High say, "And His throne was established upon the waters to have you by a test of circumstances show which of you behaves best." We know that there are many circumstances that try us, test us. And it is only those who have right disposition, only those who have good conscience, who have regard for most of all the Lord Creator, it is only those that survive the circumstances that test us. The Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, he said, everyone is a Muslim, born a Muslim. And it is the circumstances that they are placed in that makes them other, Christian, Jew, or other. These circumstances are constantly testing us. Again, Most High says in the Quran, "The vanguard, the first of those who forsook their homes, and those who gave them assistance, and those who follow them by the standard of excellence. Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him. And He has prepared for them gardens beneath which rivers flow, abiding therein forever, that is the great achievement. Here again, we see that the human being is being addressed as a creature with a nature that can be trusted. And again, Allah Most High says, "Say, it is Allah I worship with my sincere and exclusive devotion. Serve you then whatever you will to serve other than him. Say, truly those in loss are those who lose their own souls, and their people on the day of judgment. Ah, that is indeed the real and evident loss. Those who lose their own souls and fusahim, those who lose their own souls and fusahim, their own souls, they lose their own souls. The loss, the real loss, is the loss of their own souls. So the real gain, the real profit, is to keep your own soul." So that tells us that Allah is addressing a human being as a creature with a soul that can be trusted. And he only falls into a bad situation when he loses his own soul. We have the expression of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. We have this expression in the Quran, "Zalamtu nafsi, inni zalamtu nafsi." Surely I have oppressed myself. "Inni zalamtu nafsi." Surely I have oppressed myself. It is translated, "I have wronged myself." I wronged my own self. Surely I have wronged my own self. So here, again, Allah is addressing the human being as a creature with a nature that can be trusted. It is when he becomes ignorant and negligent regarding himself, the proper state for himself, following his best mind and his best nature, his better impulses, when he forgets that, or is distracted some way, or taken away from that by influences of the world, he will find himself in error. He will find himself even in corruption. But Allah says, if he will only turn to me, I will forgive him. So we always have a chance to gain the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God and gain the good state of our souls again, have the good state of our souls again. We should understand this. This is very, very important that we understand this, that in every one of us is the original person. We may become ignorant of that original person. We may even be at war with that original person. We may abandon the good interests of that original person. But that original person stays there always. Stays there always. Even in hell, the original person is there, though you be under hell. You're under hell. You're in the hellfire. But the original person is there. How do we know that? Because Allah says, whoever believes and holds to La ilaha illallah, he will be brought out of the hell. He will even be brought out of the hell. And Allah Most High said, "And I have not created the human and the jinns except for my worship, except for them to serve me." That's Allah speaks. مَا خَلَقْتُ الْإِنسَ الْجِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِ I have not created the human or the jinns except for my worship, that they serve Allah, Allah says that they serve me. And so that tells us that in our original nature, in our original state and form, we are made to serve Allah, our Lord and Creator. To me, without any elaboration, without any further comments, to me, that's clear and plain enough. I know it is very reasonable it is very rational to me, that the one who created me, I should have in me a nature to serve that one. That is made by a creator should have the nature to serve the creator. A man wouldn't make an automobile that wouldn't go along with his plan, his idea for it. We wouldn't make anything that wouldn't go along with our idea for it. So Allah, our creator, in making us, is logic to me that he made us to serve him. But Allah has to reveal this to us because we are human beings with so many human weaknesses also. So he reveals it to us that he has not created the human being nor the jinn for any purpose except his worship, to serve him. And the Muslim believes that every act that is proper and fitting for the human being and before or in the eyes of Allah are acts of worship. First of all, beginning with my own self, the good that I do for myself, act of worship. The good that I do for my family, my wife and my children, my parents, the elders, the weak in my home, that goodness that I give to my home and my family is an act of worship. Everything that I do for my neighbor or my friend and others, act of worship. Even going to the job and working, punching the clock, or opening up the store this morning, my business, and operating my business. If I'm doing that and not breaking Allah's laws, it's an act of worship. I walk down the street and I go and I pay someone a visit who's sick, act of worship. I speak a kind word to a neighbor in passing, act of worship. Everything is an act of worship. This religion is the religion established in the human nature. In the human nature. If you read the Quran more and study it deeply and sincerely, you see that there is nothing in the Quran for us that is not already in us by nature. Allah has not asked us to do anything, to behave in any way, to believe anything, or to expect anything in the hereafter that is not already in our very nature. And it is this original nature that Allah addresses in the Holy Book. The Quran, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is he above all that they describe. And again, Allah Most High says, but seek with what Allah gives you the horn of the destiny, and do not forget your portion in this world, and do good according to the requirements of excellence, as Allah has goodly enriched you. And do not seek to make corruption in the earth. Certainly Allah does not love the corruptors. We have something, many things here that we ought to consider. None of us grasp everything. However, when we look here, we see goodness, the impulse to goodness, the urge to do good. The natural urge in the human nature to do good. And we see the consequences of not following that, corruption. Corruption. Then we may say that those who respect the urge in them to do good, the natural urge in them to do good, if they respect that natural urge in them to do good, respect that, that's a taqwa, that's a form of taqwa. Because the same urge that's in you, bidding you to do good, that urge is also the urge that bids you to recognize that you have a Lord Creator over you. It's the same urge. So those who respect that natural urge in them to do good will be saved from corruption. They will be saved from corruption. Now, if you ignore that, if you oppress your own natural self, the original self, then you're subject to be one who spread corruption. Now, Allah says, do good. Look, here is a second great thing to see. Allah says, and do good as Allah has done good by you. Do good as Allah has done good by you. Here again is addressing the excellent nature of the human being. Saying, not directly, but saying by allusion, is alluding to this. It is saying what? It is saying that You have been created in a way, you have a human nature, you're created in a way to respond to good. You have a nature, an original nature, to respond to good. And Allah has been good by you. You have a nature to respond to good. You should by nature be good to others. Praise be to Allah. There is a natural cause for human beings wanting to be good and loving and kind, respectful of each one another. There is a natural cause for human beings wanting to be charitable, wanting to give in charity. There's a natural cause for that. That is coming from your original nature. So to understand the role of charity in society, we should understand the role of charity in human nature. The role of charity in human nature. Then we can understand it properly in society. But if we think that there's something mysterious that happened to turn people on to doing good, to turn people on to being righteous, if we think something mysterious has to happen, we are off the mark. We are not seeing it right. Nothing mysterious has to happen. Something real has to happen. Not something mysterious. Something real has to happen. Many people get away from this good state of the human being and fail to behave as Allah intended for them to behave, because they became unnatural. Unnatural. We have to be able to first identify the original nature. And we went to the nursery at the hospital and we looked at all of those different babies of different colors and different nationalities, of different fathers and mothers, some ignorant, some learned, some well-mannered, some not, some criminal, good citizens. We looked at all those babies and we couldn't identify the child of the criminal. We couldn't identify the child of the fisherman, or the child of the European, or the child of the African. We couldn't identify any of them by looking at their nature and their behavior. We have to be told, oh, this child is from this parent, or this child has a criminal parent, and that child has, we have to be told all that, because when Allah brings them here, it is as though He brought them here straight from paradise, straight from the Garden of Eden, straight from the garden, seeing that they just came straight from the garden. He made them in the garden, and they brought them straight to the nursery from the garden. The idea is that goodness rained down upon someone has the influence to cause goodness to grow in the person receiving it. Every one of us had our origin in the Garden of Paradise. In addition, we all can see that Allah created and provided enough for all of us. Furthermore, Allah gives more than we can earn. We haven't earned all that He's given. Many will say, well, where is mine? I haven't got mine yet. You can't blame Allah. You can't blame Allah. There's plenty here for everybody. Allah has provided us with more than enough. More than enough. You wouldn't be able to imagine how much you want unless it was already here. Therefore, Allah's giving is mercy. His giving, creating so many things to satisfy our needs and our wants, and oversupplying us. All of this is in the Quran, but for the sake of saving time, we're not going and getting every quote and giving it to you as we love to do in the Quranic language and Arabic. Allah's giving is mercy and it is charity. And it comes by way of the natural creation, the external and the internal. The natural outer creation and the natural human being. The natural human being in his original nature. That is the way it comes by no other way. Comes by no other way. And Allah says that this is the deen of fitrah of the original nature. التي فطر الناس عليها. فطر الناس عليها. That pattern upon which he patterned man, the human being. And you will not find any change in the way of Allah. This is the surah in the Quran that tells us that Allah patterned man on the pattern of the nature itself, on the pattern of nature itself. So the human nature is patterned on the pattern of the nature of creation itself. So we shouldn't be at conflict and at odds with creation. That way you can understand too, or we can understand it from that angle, we can understand what our religion means when it says this is a comprehensive religion. It includes everything of reality and goodness and truth. It is a comprehensive religion. And it requires of us that we live a full and complete life. That we don't separate spirit from the man. That we don't separate spirit from the real human life. That we don't separate the spiritual side from the practical side, but see that there is a unity there, even though there is a distinction. Our spiritual aspect is distinct from our material aspect. But nevertheless, there is a unity for the two. Allah says, can't they see that the earth was, that the heavens were united, then the earth was one, all united, before they were separated? Praise be to Allah. I recall watching a television program recently, and they mentioned on television that it is difficult to appreciate agriculture when you live in a city and all the products are standardized. So if you've never seen a chicken, this picture of one somewhere, when you go to the market, you don't see a chicken. You see a carcass, part of a carcass. You don't see a chicken. In fact, you hardly ever see a full carcass. You just see a part of a carcass, a carcass split up. So to you, a chicken would be a drumstick. Our wings. And believe me, that's the way this fast-paced, congested life, industrialized life, no, I should change that, commercialized life, that's the way it affects us. It makes us see everything in fragments. We see another human being in fragments. We're not able to see a whole human being anymore, for most of us that get caught up in the fast life, fast pace of life in the cities and get taken off the human road to his destiny. We don't see the human person in the whole part, in the whole concept, a whole entity. We see them in fragments. We see this person as a sex object. We see this person as a way to get over. We see another person as a dummy. We see the other person as a fun guy, or he's just full of fun. So we look at them and we see them in these small fragmentary pieces. And that's why we have no respect for human life. We have no respect for human society. We have no commitment to the purpose that Allah created for, to make every act of ours serve Him, glorify Him. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. We witness that there is no divine except Allah alone. Wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And we witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. That is to say that we witness that Allah revealed to a natural human being, a mortal human being, upright in his nature, excellent on the highest level or plane, before he received revelation. Allah revealed to him El Amin, the trustworthy one, the trustworthy one, El Amin, the pre-Islam time Arabs called him El Amin. That he missioned him, the mortal human being in every respect, to be the final messenger, the last prophet messenger, to bring the last revelation, the last and final revelation, the complete revelation, the complete guide for human beings and human world, human society. He missioned him who was not schooled by the rabbis, who was not schooled by any learned person, who didn't attend any formal education or went to school and learned to read or learned about the religion, but who was so excellent in his obedience to the nature Allah created for him, that Allah chose him. In fact, we say Allah created him. Allah created him and chose what he created to be the last messenger, the last prophet. And we are honored. We are honored. Great tribute is paid to every human being through Prophet Muhammad. A great tribute is paid to every human being through Prophet Muhammad. So we ask Allah's guidance, His mercy, His forgiveness. We seek Him always. We confess our faults to Him. We seek Him for forgiveness, and we know that none can forgive except Allah. None can set us straight after we've sinned except Allah. We don't have to go through priests or through imam or through any holy person. The Creator that created us says He's always near and ready to accept the repentance of the repenting person. We turn to Him always and admit that we are not perfect. We are creatures of His, subject to error, subject to commit sin. But He has given us original nature, that if we respect the whisper in it, to turn from our wrongdoings and turn to our Lord repenting, we will be heard, answered, and saved. We ask Allah to make us successful in this month of Ramadan, this blessed month in which the Quran was revealed. We pray that He make us successful in our prayers and in, most of all, in our fasting and in our reading of Quran daily. That He grant us a successful month, because we know no one fasts this month without realizing great, great blessings. Great, great blessings. No one has to tell you that you're blessed. Everyone who fasts this month successfully realizes for himself or herself great, great blessings. So we pray Allah that all of us have a very honorable and successful, blessed fast. Ameen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Praise be to Allah, Lord of all the worlds, and the prayers and the peace and the most excellent salutation upon Prophet Muhammad and upon his descendants, upon his companions, be peace. And upon us be peace. Ameen. Dear beloved Muslims, Allah says in Quran, and do good, and do good. At any rate, do good. In any case, do good. This is respecting, again, the original nature in us by telling us do good. Because do good is very general. That's a very general statement. Do good. That is telling us that Allah trusts the natural urge in us to do good. And if you cannot understand the fine technical language or the very intricate messages in Quran, because none of us understand it all. If you can't, don't keep battering your head against the stone wall. Don't keep fighting the darkness. Just know that you will be credit for respecting your natural urge in you to do good. Do good. Yes. And again, Allah says, and take the best thereof. And take the best thereof. Again, which addresses the good, perfect human being in his in this respect, that he is original in his nature, and that his impulses for goodness are good enough to save him. Allah says, and take the best thereof, because Allah has revealed the Quran to appeal to us on all levels. The Quran is revealed to appeal to us on all levels. None of us will be the same. You take two brothers that live in the same house from the same mother. When you examine them, they will be the same. One will read the Quran and get this influence and get this impression. Another will read the Quran and get a slightly different one, sometime a sharply different one. A sharply different one. Well, Allah is addressing us on all levels, on all levels. And He does not ignore the baby man. There are many of men that are babies, and they something has happened to them in their lives, they just can't get above the baby. He doesn't ignore the slow man in his mind. Some of us are just slow. Something has happened to us in the circumstances. Perhaps not in our own life, but behind us. And we have just come through a generation and generation of sluggish people. And we're a little sluggish. We're a little sluggish in the mind. Allah does not overlook that. There are some of us more tuned to beauty, than we are to rational guidance. So Allah has made the Quran to appeal to those who have that inclination toward beauty. Allah has given the Quran to appeal to us on all levels and all divisions. All levels and all divisions. Isn't that wonderful? So He says, and take the best thereof. And take the best thereof. Because you might be looking at something that's troubling you. But forget about that now. You're tangled up. Come out of that entanglement and follow the good impulse in you to good and take the best thereof. How wonderful it is if we can understand. It's very simple and plain. Now, I'm going back to the Prophet again and concluding this. The Prophet was asked by someone to tell me something that no one else can tell me. And I guess he was like some of you who want to test your Imam. Are you heavy, brother? Look, tell me something I haven't heard. And you know what the attitude is behind that, right? So that was asked of the Prophet, and the Prophet gave, he came so straight and clear. Say, Qul, Amantu, I have believed. Thumma istaqim, thereafter be upright. What does that tell us? Again, that Allah addresses us as three creatures that can be trusted. He didn't say, let me give you a formula for coming into faith. He told him, just say, I believe. The human being just automatically come into faith if he respects the excellence in himself, the good impulse in himself. He automatically comes into faith. He doesn't need a blueprint to get into faith, a roadmap or something like that. To get into faith, it is natural for him to be a creature of faith. He says, say, kul. Why he say, say? He could have said, believe, and thereafter be upright. But he put say before it. Because when you speak, it turns on the wheels of the brain. When you speak, it turns on the wheels of the intellect. The wheels of the conscience have to work to speak. Now, I don't mean when you speak in your sleep. This person was consciously addressing the prophet, and the prophet was consciously responding to him. There was a real conscious situation there, and he was told to say, "I believe." Say, "I believe." Saying it reinforces it. And saying it, if it's not firm, it makes you aware that it's not firm. When you say something that's not there, while you're saying it, something starts to tremble in here. Although we don't see it, but something is shaking in there, and if they can bring those highly technical instruments and put them through you in those mirror spots, they will say, "We learned." Say, "I believe," and thereafter be upright. Say, "I believe," and thereafter be upright. Such simple words. How are these words so great? Nobody else can tell me this. Faith is a condition. Faith is a condition for good behavior. Faith is a condition for good behavior. And when you see the corruption and the murder and the level of crime and narcotics or drug abuse in the cities, you bet your life that faith is not there in the people. Faith is not there. They've lost faith in Allah. They've lost faith in the guidance. They've lost faith in their people, their relatives. They've lost faith in the city. They've lost faith in their government people, their government leaders. They are people without faith. And because they have faith, because they're without faith, they cannot have good conduct. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Except that they have faith, and good deeds, good actions, good behavior. Those two go together. One is the precondition for the other. The right faith is the precondition for the right behavior. The right faith. So you tell me this religion is not relevant? In 1980 or 1989, here we are. This religion is not relevant. The more I study it, the more I see its relevancy. The more I see that it should be leading all the sciences. Yes, the Quran should be leading all the sciences. Sociology, all the sciences. Political science, finance, government. All the sciences should be led by the Quran. And that's what made the renaissance, the regeneration of civilization, education, enlightenment and civilization. That's what made it possible. The Quran came in the darkness and brought light, and then brought all of the intellects and the disciplines of the intellect right behind it, and led them out of the darkness into the light. This happened for Jahiliyyah Arabia, it happened for the peninsula we call Arabia, it happened for the old world, and that light came from the old world and reached the new continent, the new place that was discovered, not the new continent, but the place that they newly discovered, reached here and brought the enlightenment here, extended all the way here. And it was because we did not have the disposition of the original nature that we lost it. So we conclude and pray Allah guide us all to understanding, bless us with faith. Faith is a blessing. Faith is a blessing. And understand what the Prophet said, "Qul amantu thumma istaqim." The same language is in the Quran, said by God. Allah doesn't push they said, but He says they are the ones that believe and present themselves upright. Prophet Ibrahim, as you know, is called the upright, because he's a model of that obedience to the original nature. Yes. Obedience to the original nature. And there was a Muslim scholar from overseas who has written on this disposition in the prophets, which he might have termed it differently from the way I put it, but he says he finds no prophet that was out of that excellence before God called him. He cites incidents in the life of Moses and others to show that these prophets, even before God called them, were already in that original nature, in that excellence. And he said, that is why God chose them. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. So I conclude today by saying to you, Prophet Muhammad, as the last prophet for all of us, is the greatest tribute to all of us possible. Because he was not the son of a king. He was not the student of a priest, a rabbi, a learned person. He was a common person, nursed by a common woman in the rural area, Halima, may Allah be pleased with her, nursed by her from her breast. She was a poor woman, uncultured, untrained, but had the natural makeup of the good human being. Those people in the rural, what we would call the sticks or the woods, the backland, you know, they were so much in touch with nature that it was easy for them to keep their original nature. So Arabs in the towns who could afford it, they would pay one of them to nurse their child and care for their child for the early months of the child's life, so the child would get the best nature, the best contact with nature from them. And then here comes the prophet, also uneducated, unlearned, or unlettered, as it is said of him, unlettered, in Allah says, one of the ummiyin, one of the unlearned people. He was one of the unlearned people. Now here he is raised to the highest position upon his nature and upon the last revelation. Raised to the highest position. Believe me, that lifts all of us. And I think the Christians, we don't want to say this to them, I'm saying it to you. But if they really want to understand what it means by lift me up and I will draw all up unto me, that's the answer. When you see Prophet Muhammad in his natural loftiness, receiving the last and final revelation, and you understand that that's a common human being, that wasn't no mysterious person, that wasn't no half angel and half human being, whole human being, eat, drink, smile, even laugh. Some people say he didn't laugh. I heard that it's written. Yeah, certainly he laughed, though. Just don't you think he was? Certainly he had a laugh. He laughed. There's reports that they saw his pretty white teeth. They said he was so, and his face flushed because he was so thrilled. Certainly he did. But he didn't go to extremes in anything. He knew when the laugh was enough. Yes. So, believe me, that he is the tribute to all of us. He approved, through him, Allah has approved our nature, validated our nature, and raised our nature up as an excellent thing, an excellent thing that we should feel comfortable with, most comfortable with. He has showed us that the thing to redeem us is us. That which redeems us is us, but us in our original state, in our original nature. So again, we ask for Allah's guidance always, and we pray He never let us slip back after He has guided us. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين.
Allah, my Father.